As global leaders meet to discuss our climate future, a look at the data attempting to predict how the climate will change. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. This weekend kicked off COP26, the United Nations Climate Conference in Glasgow. It's a key moment viewed by scientists as a last chance opportunity to manage climate change on a global scale. The country commitments made this week could determine what the world will look like in just a few decades. And those countries are turning to advanced climate models to imagine that world. Zeke Hausfather is a data scientist and is the director of climate and energy for the Breakthrough Institute. I asked him how those attending COP26 will be using climate models in their negotiations.
So climate models are one of the most important ways that we can understand how the climate might change in the future, as well as how it's changed in the past. So they give us a sense both of what sort of warming will happen at the global level if we keep increasing our emissions, or if we reduce them for that matter, and what will happen for specific regions and countries over the course of the century. So they play a big role in informing a lot of our estimates of the damages of climate change, all of the bad stuff that happens, be it sea level rise, more tropical cyclones or more intense tropical cyclones, wildfires, and all of the other nasty things that come with a warming world.
How has the accuracy of the models changed over time?
Nowadays, we actually call them Earth system models rather than climate models because they include, you know, a model of the Earth's vegetation. You can see how, you know, areas covered with trees and grasslands change as the planet warms. You can look at how those then affect the carbon cycle and how much of our CO2 emissions remain in the atmosphere. And so these interactive effects that you get by coupling different systems are a really important part of modern climate modeling. And a lot of our advances over the last 50 years have been including more and more sort of modules of the Earth system and seeing how they interact together. Back in the 70s, you were essentially simulating the planet as like one column of atmosphere with ocean at the bottom and sky at the top. You know, we went from modeling the world as single columns to 500 kilometer square boxes, to 100 kilometer to 50 kilometer. Nowadays, we have 25 kilometer high resolution model runs. And so as you increase the resolution of these models, you can do a better job of resolving smaller scale processes that just would not really show up in less fine-tuned or fine-grained models.
Wow, that's a really amazing progression.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why a lot of the world's fastest supercomputers are used for climate modeling these days. You know, it takes years of time and many groups around the world and many supercomputers to get all these modeling results done.
COP26 is upon us, and it means that countries will be meeting and making decisions about their commitments to fighting climate change. What will you be looking out for at this meeting?
A lot of countries over the last 2 years have finally started to make long-term commitments to get their emissions to zero by the middle of the century. And so coming into COP, a big question people have is, how much will we see these long-term commitments being translated into stronger near-term pledges to actually do stuff by 2030, for example? And we've seen some countries give stronger pledges there, the EU, the US, for example. Others like China have been much less willing to make strong near-term commitments.
You know, you spend so much time steeped in this data about how the Earth is going to change in the coming decades, and you also have a family. How worried are you? How do you think about all this?
It's definitely something I'm worried about, you know, particularly living in California, where we see the impacts of climate change very front and center with our exceptional wildfire seasons. But at the same time, you know, in some ways, I'm actually a little more hopeful now than I was 5 or 6 years ago. Like, I don't think we're going to end up in the best of all worlds. I think we're going to have a really hard time limiting global temperatures to below 1.5 degrees, since we're at 1.2 today, and that's just such a small margin. But I think, you know, given how quickly clean energy technology prices have fallen, given how countries are finally starting to make some more meaningful commitments, even if it's not enough, you know, I think we have a real shot at limiting warming to below 2 degrees by the end of the century in a way that, you know, we didn't 5 years ago. We're probably going to end up in a world that's not the perfect world, but not as catastrophic as it could be if we continue to take action on it, if we push politicians as hard as we can. And, you know, that's not the world I want to leave my daughter, but that's a lot better than the world that we could be leaving her.
Zeke Hausfather is a data scientist and the director of climate and energy for the Breakthrough Institute. And now for some related links. Zeke has a detailed article laying out what the climate models, or as he says, Earth systems models, can and can't tell us about what's ahead for our changing climate. We'll have a link on our website, marketplacetech.org. In it, he gets into some of the results from the recent report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Zeke says there is grim news for what's ahead in the report, but also reason for hope. If you're curious to learn more about how climate models work, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has a guide on how models are made, tested, and used. And National Geographic has a piece on how climate modelers are kind of in a moment, including a Nobel Prize win. We'll have that link and a link to a Bloomberg article setting up the COP26 meeting. It has some cool interactive charts showing how previous climate summits have affected global emissions and what the stakes are for this round. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.